Hello and welcome to the Relationship Matters podcast. From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters. Hello, I'm your host, Katie Churchman. And in this episode, I'm talking with Floyd Carlson about myth change. Floyd is a front of the room leader for CRR Global, who focuses on leaders and teams and bringing the best out of individuals based on company and individual objectives. Floyd has more than 30 years of business and military experience, which he combines with his coaching, training, and organizational development to help leaders achieve professional and personal goals in alignment with company needs. In this episode, Floyd and I are discussing myths and myth change. The idea of a myth connects us with the archetypal roots of a relationship, which has great meaning and power. As we are always developing who we are as a couple, a team, or a corporation, but often unconsciously. So by revealing these myths and this creative process, we can make it much more conscious and intentional. So without further ado, I give you Floyd Carlson talking about myth change. So Floyd, it's great to have you on the show finally. I believe today we're discussing myth change. So before we dive into all the different myths and myth changes that are showing up right now for all of us over the globe, I wonder if you could start by explaining what myth change means to you.
Katie, hey, thank you so much. I've listened to the podcast. I'm so excited to be part of this and to share, you know, around myth change with the ORS community and to all the listeners. So the first thing that comes to mind is what's a myth? You know, a lot of times, you know, there's this belief that, wow, it's kind of a mystic or it's an untruth. And from the ORSC language and from how we use it, it's more of we lean into Joseph Campbell's work, where it's truly a deep meaning within the relationship. So a myth, and there could be other words we use for it. So it can be a story or it could be the narrative. And in ORS, we use this in quite a few different ways. We have this thing called original myth, where what was that story of like when you and your partner first got together or when I joined this team? And what's interesting is when we get into this myth or this story, we feel it because it hits this other aspect that we have in ORS called these three levels of reality, which is, you know, the essence is that feeling. When we first started a role or we first met that person, maybe it was love at first sight, there was that feeling, that essence. Then we started dreaming about what's possible in that particular relationship. And then we get into that consensus reality of that day-to-day stuff. And I was just reminded about thinking of this, and this leads into this myth change, is I remember one organization that I had joined, and after I just got done having interviews, I stepped out and I said, wow, that felt like a glove. So that was like essence. And then I started dreaming what was possible in this new role. And then, you know, I joined the organization and you start getting connected and you're doing all those great things. And then all of a sudden something starts to change, because as we learn and as we grow in our relationships or in our teams, all of a sudden, you know, that story, that myth starts to make a shift. And particularly for me at that time in that organization, it was around the, you know, the financial crisis. So things that I had believed that were true no longer seemed to be there. And we're so tied into some consensus reality. So it was like there's this new story wanting to emerge, this new myth. And so when we talk about myth change, it's what is that new story, that new chapter for this team, this relationship, and what's actually possible there? And we can talk about many examples as we go through this.
So many things to unpack there, but two pieces that really popped out for me when you're speaking. The idea of myth allows everyone's experience to be true, I've realized. It's like allowing their experience to be true. And then also the idea that these stories are constantly evolving, yet we try and fix things down and we don't love change. I'm wondering sort of how this can sort of help us perhaps with unexpected change, like the ones we're dealing with now, because I don't think anyone planned for this year. And yet it's here regardless.
Oh, absolutely. You know, so I love where you're going with this, because there's many things that could occur that actually starts to generate a, you know, what we call a myth change. So it could be there's a significant event that occurs, you know, a financial crisis, the pandemic. And all of a sudden, you know, we're going along and we now needed to adjust. And we weren't expecting to adjust. You know, so there's definitely some of that in ours. We talk about edges, you know, crossing from where I am today to that future. A lot of resistance can be happening, but yet there's that need for us to create something. So some organizations say that all their trainings or how they did stuff was all in person, and now that's not possible. That's a myth change. How do they, you know, create that new story? And the other piece that is emerging is also life transitions. So it's kind of interesting where, you know, sometimes with my coaching, and maybe you see this too, Katie, is where all of a sudden it's like you get like a series of three of everything. And all of a sudden I had these couples who I was starting to have this opportunity to work with who were becoming empty nesters. And so that was a life-changing event where, you know, they first were there as a couple, and there's a myth around that. Then they had, you know, children, which then for the next 18 or so years became such a big piece. And then all of a sudden they're getting ready for this new transition into this new area of empty nesters. And they kind of lost their identity. They lost that connection. So that's where, you know, this myth change work actually can have such a benefit, is to help them create what is that new story, that new chapter of the book, and yet also give them an opportunity to look at what we just went through, because there's something there to be honored or grieved. And I always find that that's such a emotional but strong connection back to, hey, here's where we've been, and now we realize there's somewhere new to go. So definitely, you know, life events, role reversals. So all of a sudden, say somebody was like, say, the breadwinner of that system, and all of a sudden now, you know, that role has changed. That's a myth change opportunity. Again, the big events, and there's others that you can just start to imagine. I'm curious, you know, with your coaching, what are some of those like myth changes you've seen with some of the clients you've worked with?
I've noticed a lot of people who have been pushed over edges.
Yeah.
And the myth change, or the myth itself, hasn't caught up yet. So their sense of where they are now and what's possible is kind of locked in this previous place. It's locked in their old primary. And so the tool, I think, or the concept helps people to perhaps dream into this new future. But there have been tons lately. I mean, the idea of lockdown, not having holidays, and then some smaller things like spending more time with their partner unexpectedly, or homeschooling kids. I think all of these things are big and small myth changes, but they can be a bit uncomfortable at first. This idea of, oh, this is the new normal, as we've been saying over and over this year. This is the new normal. But I don't think it feels normal yet for many of us.
Absolutely. Well, I love where you're going to is from small to big edges that we're crossing. Not only just talking about this and creating that new chapter, but then some of the other tools that you even discussed here on this show start to come into play. You know, what is the new high dream or low dream that we want to create around that? So we actually get to be conscious. And this is where this topic really starts to emerge for me, is you look at all the different systems we're part of, and all these systems have different myths. So it's not like I just have one story. I have stories for where I work. I have stories for my personal relationships. And so, and all those could be in different motion at different times. So as they start to shift, or there's this something that's emerging for us to now create something new together, this myth change. And I love where you're going with that. It's being conscious. What is it that we want to create? And this can also be, if we have a designed alliance in place, let's update that. If we don't, let's design this. Let's be intentional about, as the lockdown and these things occur, and we start maybe going back into the workplace sometime into the future, that is a new chapter. because we had what it was, you know, however long ago it was by the time we can actually go back into those environments. And now, you know, the myth changed at how most of our stuff is even online, or we're doing it over Zoom or WebEx or any of the technologies. These are all changes, and we can let it happen to us, or we can be conscious about where we want to go with that.
Yeah, I think that idea of the new normal, there is a sense of sort of wanting to go back, but we've learned so much now. And I think for a lot of people, work-life balance has been transformed. If they're not getting on a train at 5 a.m. every morning and commuting home late, they're able to have breakfast and dinner with their kids, that kind of thing. And maybe there are lessons where we can have more of that work-life balance going forward. Or for coaches, for example, not having to meet people in person, I think, has helped in many ways because it saves so much time. It creates different kinds of opportunities. I know for me, I've been able to work with a lot of European clients. Yeah. So, you know, there is sometimes this pull back to the past, I've noticed, particularly lately. And yet I think myth change allows us to sort of create from. It's like using the lessons. Yeah. And then also thinking about, as you say, grieving what we lost and seeing what's possible from here.
Oh, gosh, there's so much that comes from what you're just highlighting to me. One of them that sticks out is, imagine now this newfound work-life balance that you connected with. And as we come out of, you know, the current environment around the pandemic, companies are going to be struggling, or I should say trying to grapple with now bringing people back in. Look at all those different myth changes that each of those individuals personally have. And they're now going to come back into an environment, and they're coming from this environment where, gosh, I was working from home. I was able to be with my family, my significant other. And now I'm back on that 5 o'clock train. Mm. That is going to be a shift. And so how do we, as from the organization level, help to make that transition back into what does that look like? And how to help people be part of that conscious creation of this new myth of what the new office environment is going to be like. Same, because each individual is going to have to go through that change themselves. It's like, geez, I didn't know what I was missing. I didn't know what I didn't know until all of a sudden now I had it. And now, you know, the prospect of going back into that particular environment, wow, I don't know if that's attractive or not. Yet, how can I be conscious about it?
Yeah, because there's probably a bigger sense of accountability created, one of the many things actually that's been created from. And what I love about myth change is that we are so good at adapting. I think when things like this are thrown at us, I remember initially people were like, we're going to be locked down for a month, a whole month. And of course, it was so much longer. And we all just ended up sort of finding our way. I don't want to say thrive, but we found our way. You know, my husband and I got into painting by numbers. Like, we just created new things. And it wasn't maybe the year we would have chosen, of course not, but it's the year that we had. Yeah. And I just love the way that people are just so good at just getting used to things. And I think if anything, this year has taught us that we're very good at adapting to the unexpected.
Oh, that is so great. You know, so there's that resiliency now that's part of our story.
Yeah.
You know, look what we've been able to do during this time. How do we use that strength? Because if we're able to get through this, what are some of those other things that we can tackle? And yeah, I'm trying to refer back to, you know, one of the podcasts that I had heard this in. And what was really interesting is they're talking about companies before, some of them didn't even think that work from home was even possible. And now all of a sudden they realize, hey, it is possible. And this was like that big thing we never knew how to tackle. So if we can tackle this, what else can we tackle? So I love where you're going with this, because there's that resiliency. So if we look at that in our relationships, you know, into our families, and then, you know, take it to all the different teams, you know, what does this resiliency look like? And how can we build on it? What are the things that we never imagined us doing and now is possible? I live close to a bunch of regional trails. And I remember as soon as the lockdown or shutter in place was here, all of a sudden I saw all of these new people out on the trails, these families I had never seen before. And I was like, wow, I didn't know we had so many people, because typically I'm out there and I'll see the same 20 people every day. And all of a sudden I'm seeing all these different people and I'm like, this is a new aspect of their story that they're creating is, hey, how do we be together when those things that we're used to are no longer there? And this is creating this new resiliency or this new connection or something we can lean into that actually helps to create that positive story of who we are and who we're not going forward.
You made me just think of this really funny meme that came out on that first week of lockdown. And it's that clip of Forrest Gump where he's saying, I don't know, for some reason, I just decided to go running. And the meme says, me on first day of lockdown. And it did feel like the whole world just started running. And it was so funny.
That's great. That's so great. Yeah.
But there were like so many habits created. I'm sure a lot of them fell short of the long lasting habits, but yeah. I'm sure new routines have emerged for a lot of people. And yeah, particularly new ways of working. So many of my friends didn't work from home. And so the first week it was like, oh, I get to work in my pajamas, that sense of like, oh, and then it becomes the normal. And there's all these sort of structures you have to create for yourself in order to stay sane and have a sense of work-life balance and productivity perhaps as well.
Yeah. I'm curious, you know, if you think of like, when we talk about myth change, is there something that you look at in your life or something that's emerging? What's like a new myth that you're wanting to create? Is there something there for you to share?
Yeah, so I guess a big myth, and it's probably one that's been evolving over 2 years, but creating my own sense of family. And I think this is something that a lot of people feel at some point in their life. So my husband and I, we moved to America 2 years ago. We got engaged, married, and moved to America in 4 months. So talk about a myth change. That was many.
Yes.
But then there is this sense of sort of creating your own family, which is, yeah, it's just holding the family that you still have, the families that you've been brought into as well, and creating your own sense of family and the values that underpin that and are foundational to that. Yeah, that's certainly something that's still, I think, in the process.
Yeah, and I love that because, you know, changing countries, wow, that's huge. And all of a sudden now you're with somebody who 24/7 and... you know, your typical support network is not here. And so what does that look like? And there's this other thing that's emerging as you're talking about. It's, we're doing it together. So be it in a relationship or be it in a team, you know, it's that, how do we create this together? And it goes back to that consciousness you're talking about. There's some conscious choices here. There's some habits. There's that high dream of who do we want to be in this new family type connection.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, thank you so much for sharing.
No problem. Yeah, I mean, it was a very interesting time being very intentional actually about the myth changes that we were choosing to step into. Because I think that's another thing as well, is that there is choice around myth change. They're not all thrown at us. And it can be in a very intentional way.
Yeah.
Have you chosen any myth changes that you're able to share or stepped into?
Well, yeah, thank you. There's, you know, something that this morning out on a trail I was kind of thinking about is what has generated most of the myth changes for me has been getting too bogged down into like the consensus reality. And what I mean by that is when you're in the thick of just doing the stuff, you know, it's more about doing, not necessarily being, missing out on what got me into that in the first place, that essence, that dream that I had. And so for me, it's been a reflection point. So even thinking about this for us having this conversation, it's really brought me into a reflection point of what are those different myth changes that I want to be conscious about. And so, you know, one of them that I'm working with, and this is more as my personal myth, is really being conscious about how do I want to show up? And how I want to show up is more of that essence and dreaming and bringing that in. So it's not just the actions. It's that constant connection to what is the dream behind this? And what is it, that passion that I have for that? What brought me to this in the first place? And then having that appreciation of it. So it's not necessarily merging this big shift at this time or myth change. Is more of, how do I bring more of this idea of these levels and the importance of the story to each of the relationships and systems that I'm part of? And so that's where I love, you know, when you brought up the part about consciousness, is I want to be more conscious about that, because I find it's easy to ruminate on something for too long about one of the systems that I may be involved with. And I go, in the end of the day, is that making me happier and more connected by doing that? No. So I want to be more into relationship, into that connection, into that happiness around it. So it's bringing this concept into all the different myths, because all the different relationships that I'm in, and what is a story of what I own that I can show up and help make happen with others in that particular system. So that's kind of where my focus is right now.
Yeah, I love that, because going back to the example of getting married and moving to America in 4 months, it was actually one of the most intentional times of my entire life. And I think sometimes when lots of change happens, and then I just like cut my hair really short as well, so I just did all the change at once. But we really held that essence and dreaming space, my husband and I. We were like, this is going to be about what's important to us when it comes to marriage. And so we didn't really mind about the table decorations or this or that. And it was completely stress-free, the whole process, which is kind of amazing given how much stress surrounds some of these big life events. And so I do think you can be very intentional with myth change. And it's very powerful, I think, when you can get to that, because it starts to feel like you're happening to the world as opposed to the world happening to you.
Yeah. I love where you're going with that, because it's also that, going back to the resiliency of you're continuing to build on that. And as the two of you grow into the relationship, where can that take the two of you together? It reminds me, my relationship, gosh, I was 20 and my partner, she's 18 and she lives in Germany. And all of a sudden, you know, at that age, moving to the US for a whole new experience. And basically we're kids growing together. And now, you know, 35 years later, I look at all the different shifts and myth changes we've had, and I'm able to reflect on it. And your story has helped me to do that of, wow, you know, we had little and big changes all along that way. You know, there's times when I was in the military where I'd be deployed for months on end. And so that was a myth change, because now she had to do different things that she didn't have to do before, because we as a system relied on, hey, I'm deployed somewhere, I don't have connection to do certain aspects that our roles were tied to. And that was a new role that she had to take on, and just seeing how she grew into that role. And then coming back after that deployment, that then created yet again a new myth change, you know, because now we have different roles that we're occupying, and how do we make that work together?
What a beautiful example. And your system holds so many stories, so many myths. And I guess I'm wondering, what advice would you give? Because I'm much earlier on in that road, and 36 years of holding this vast collection of stories. That's amazing.
The thing which always sticks out in our relationship is, and it comes back to this consciousness that has emerged in this conversation together, is we were really intentional about how we wanted to be together. We looked around and we saw other examples that wouldn't necessarily we call to be best examples. And we were like, hey, we don't want to be roommates. You know, so that's been like our, you know, part of our myth, part of our story is we don't want to be roommates. We want to be and continue to be holding this love, passion, incredible energy and hope for each other. And that's been what's really been like that thread, that theme that's been there for the 35 years and continuing to count. And knock on wood, everything's going good.
That's beautiful. And what's interesting about that is that the idea of holding these stories and consciously thinking about how you want to be together, you can apply that to any kind of relationship or to a team or to an organization. All these stories, people come and go, CEOs change. And yet how do we want to hold ourselves through all those stories, those myths?
I love that. Yeah, again, it's how do we design that together? Because some teams, you know, gosh, I remember in organizations where within 2 years I had four or five different leaders. It's kind of like a revolving door. It's like, wow. And yet we still had a core. And we as a core, you know, it's not needing leadership to tell us what the story is. We can create that and be contributors to that and invite them into that story. And then they're going to help us to, you know, with that energy that they bring into it, really help to connect that of how we want to be together going forward.
So final question, Floyd, for someone who's maybe struggling with change or struggling to coach someone through change, what advice would you give them?
You know, change is one of those things that we like change when it's positive. and it's like all of a sudden, you know, hey, you won the sweepstakes. Hey, I like that change. All the other change, we just naturally, it's different. And so how do we honor where that system, that person is? And yet we co-create with them to help stretch them. You know, so when we talk about the ORS work, you know, there's different ways of helping people over that edge to get them to try it on. So try it before you do something. So for an example, if there's, say that you and your partner are looking to move to a different city, why not go there for a long weekend or spend a week there and see how do we really feel and like about that city? I'm getting a chance to try something on before I buy. And sometimes, you know, it's easy to get caught in like, it's either this or that. And so how do we help our clients just to be able to try it on, experiment with it, and hold our options open as long as possible? And then help them to get over that edge. What does that take? What will work best for them to help them make that shift that ultimately they're looking to make? That would be one thought.
That's a great idea. I've got this visual of just like trying on the jacket, but maybe not buying it yet. Just seeing how it lands, yeah. And then having a look at the options. Yeah, that's a nice way of teasing your way into a challenging change.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks so much, Floyd. This was a fantastic conversation. And I think you're going to be back on the show because I've got lots more questions to ask.
Katie, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And I hope your listeners can really take on something for how can we make that story that's going to help us be who we really want to be in our teams, our relationships, and throughout our life.
Thanks so much, Floyd.
A huge thanks to Floyd Carlson for that fascinating conversation around myth change. My key takeaways are as follows. Like everything else in life, relationship myth is subject to change and requires upkeep. Individuals and systems have a strong drive to grow and evolve. Regardless of the reason, a myth change represents a crisis in the development of the system. The system is over the edge and into a new territory and needs time to integrate the change into a coherent narrative. Who are we now? Myth changes echo all up and down the different relationship dimensions. Even in a positive myth change, the coach may see edge behaviours, realms, misalignment, role confusion, triggering, ghosts and more. Because the primary identity of the relationship is more fluid at these times, there is often huge opportunity for growth and change. For more information about Floyd's work, do check out crrglobal.com. And make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast to make sure you never miss an episode of the Relationship Matters podcast. From the boardroom to the living room, we believe relationship matters.